genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Remember people's names at those Christmas parties that we're going to as we go into the holiday season. Who hasn't forgotten a name or two when you're telling a story or meeting somebody for the very first time? Memory and mental fitness is the biggest topic in the over 35 age demographic. Anyone can improve their memory and reduce the risk of Alzheimer's by up to 80% by using tips that my next guest gives. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. You'll want to keep that number handy because we do have another sandwich to give away in this half hour. Dave Farrow is an author and a very popular speaker. He's done more than 1,500 radio and television interviews. He's partnered with the Alzheimer's Society, and he's created Farrow Memory, a six-disc CD to improve memory ability. Welcome to the show, Dave. How are you doing today?
Thank you very much. You guys are giving away sandwiches.
We're giving away sandwiches. It's nearly lunchtime here in California. I know you're past lunch there in New York where you are. But, yeah, we're coming up on lunchtime, and nothing could be more timely than a fine sandwich or salad from Urbane Cafe in Oxnard. So,
That I've heard a lot of things given away on the radio. That's as good as any. I like that.
Well, we're glad that you're here because you have done so many different shows. I was most impressed, and I think I first saw you on Regis and Kathy, where you actually memorized every name of everyone in the audience. How did you do that?
Well, the one thing you have to understand is that I do not have a special gift when it comes to memory. Now, the first time I say that, people, they want to fight me or something. Like, oh, no, you have to have been born with this, and you're playing the oboe at 6 years old and writing sonnets or something silly like that. But the simple fact is we all have a very powerful memory. We just don't know how to use it. And now, you know, we've heard phrases like that, but I'm actually going to describe why that's the case. I often describe it as if we have this amazing Ferrari of a brain, but we don't know how to drive, you know?
Right. Or you're in freeway traffic like we are here in California.
Well, exactly. But most people, when it comes to running their brain or their memory, it's a lot like trying to push a car, you know, push a car down a hill or you know, like through traffic. You're just basically, you know, you put out tons of effort and you get just a couple of inches of progress. Well, there are other people who know how the brain works, know how the car works, and then they jump in and they just drive away. And I'll be very brief in actually the theory. Now, my background is as a research scientist. So I really have developed a new theory for memory. It's called memory personalities. It's actually been proposed at a recent conference on neurology, one of the largest conferences in the world on neurology in Montreal recently. So this isn't some sort of snake oil salesman. This is you know, not your grandfather's old word association either. Every good boy does not deserve fudge. I'm glad you like the mnemonic humor. That's good stuff. But what we basically figured out is that there's a part of your brain. This has been known for a long time, by the way. There's a part of your brain that governs your long-term memory. We just didn't realize how does it govern it. See, there's some times where you see information only once, and you remember it for the rest of your life, right?
All right, sure.
You know, like the theme to SpongeBob SquarePants is a good example. If you're ever, you know, if you're ever unfortunate enough to have to babysit someone's niece and you watch that a couple times, you never get it out of your head. But the problem is, when we hear people's names, like Billy the Brain or something, or something else, it seems to go in one ear and out the other, and it's because there's a little part of your brain, the base of the hippocampus, actually, that's the reticular activating cells, and those cells actually decide what goes into your long-term memory or not. It acts like a switching station. Now, what I discovered was that these cells are specific for each individual. We actually fall into one of five different categories or personalities that these cells activate towards. So I'll give you a perfect example. Every one of us has a friend of ours who loves sports, and they remember every single statistic since the beginning of the sport.
Sure.
Right, but they can't pass math, you know, or they can't remember where to put their car. I mean, I'm not making fun of anybody, but it is incredibly relatively one-sided. Now, other people might be great at a particular type of trivia or gossip or something, but they can't remember where they put their car keys or something. There's nothing wrong with their memory. It's just that those cells are looking for one bit of information, and they're only paying attention to that one bit of information. So what my system allows you to do is you figure out what your memory personality is. We call it a memory trigger, so we figure out what your trigger is. And then we have techniques that allow you to take any information, whether it be names or numbers or formulas or even decks of cards, as I've done, and we can trick that part of the brain into holding on to that information forever or for as long as you want to in your long-term memory without any repetition.
Ah, this is fascinating. We're talking to Dave Farrow, everybody. And, Dave, this has applications not only for ourselves, but those of us that are parents and grandparents. If we could identify what the five memory – well, you know what the five memory triggers are, but if we can identify what our child or grandchild has as a memory trigger, that might be something to actually help them become a better student, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. We actually go through two different stages for that. And let me tell you, the younger you get kids, the better with this. Get them thinking that, you know, different people think differently. And also different people learn differently. I mean, I'll tell you, a great example is some people learn in more of a step-by-step fashion, and other people learn in more of a three-dimensional or spatial way. It's called linear thinking or spatial thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And typically this is whether you're a visual person or an auditory person. Auditory people are more linear, and visual people are more spatial. So, you know, if I was trying to tell you how to drive a standard car, for example, I could work for weeks telling you a step-by-step format, but if you're more of a spatial thinker, you just couldn't picture it in your head. You'd constantly be grinding the gears. But if in 2 seconds I just painted a picture of what a clutch actually looks like and how it works, you'd be able to drive standard in no time. That's the difference that we're talking about. We're talking about kids being in school. Now, that's a, you know, practical example, but school is full of these examples where, you know, kids are struggling with calculus, or they're struggling with fractions, or they're struggling with this and that, and they might have a teacher that has a completely different style than them, and the teacher is teaching the way they would want to be to learn, but they're not teaching the way your child regularly learns. So if you teach your children that there's, you know, a few different styles that people learn, and this is how they happen, how they work, once they start to see that, immediately the light goes on, and they realize that there's nothing wrong with them. They're perfectly smart. They're brilliant. They have a genius all their own. They just had to know how to tap into that.
Wow. We're talking to Dave Farrow, everybody. We're breaking down memory, because as we're going into the holiday season, we're going to meet a lot of people at Christmas parties and social events. We want to be able to remember their names and so forth. You've got five memory triggers that you have identified. So break it down for us, Dave. What are those five triggers?
Well, actually, I can tell you the five triggers right now. Yeah, the average person, they either are triggered by action, so, you know, some sort of movement you pay attention to, like sports or something like that. There's exaggeration, so that's when something ordinary becomes exaggerated. So these are the type of people that love movies about the ordinary guy who gets rich or gets successful.
Forrest Gump or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then those get you excited, but also that'll actually that'll actually lead into the learning process. Other people, they actually pay attention to oddity. So if I had a row of apples in front of me and all of them were red and one of them was green, some people would really focus on the green one. And these people are the people who become really good proofreaders, or they become really good detectives and problem solving, that sort of thing. Other people focus on what's called personalization. Everything has to relate to something that they're actually going to do. So this would be the type of, you know, this is especially true for students. If a student has this type of memory personality, then it doesn't matter how hard you try to get them to learn calculus. All you have to do is simply say something that it relates to. We've had times where we've simply said, you know, this particular formula relates to how they make roller coasters. And immediately, boom, okay, it relates to something I may actually touch in my lifetime. So all of a sudden, their brain wakes up and they pay attention. Something as simple as that. And the final one is the fantastical one. This is the one where, you know, when you were a kid and your grandfather pulled a coin out of your ear, those are the kids that are fascinated with that. So they're anything that's mysterious and strange. And these are the people who want to be, you know, the archaeologists and the kind of the treasure hunters and trying to figure out the mysteries of life, sometimes scientists and things like that. So when you figure out what category you fit into, and you could be a combination of this as well, then immediately you can start to turn the techniques to make imagery and make you know, make your note taking and things like that reflect this memory trigger. So
All right.
I'll give you a very simple example.
Okay.
Say, for example, you met me at a party, and you know, my last name is Farrow.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you think that would just go in one ear and out the other. But somebody who is more personally associated, they might imagine me as an Egyptian pharaoh giving them a command. You know, somebody who is more associated as like oddity, they might still think the Egyptian pharaoh, but they might make it a god-awful costume, like this big gold and weird costume, you know?
Okay.
Somebody who's into action might imagine me like shooting an arrow or something like that, because that rhymes with pharaoh. So, you know, the technique changes only very slightly, but what it does is it triggers that part of the brain, and it makes the difference that makes the difference, basically.
All right. Well, let me stop you right there, Dave, because this is an important thing, learning what the what memory triggers you have. Now, I'm going to go pick up my granddaughter a little bit later today. She's two and a half years old. I don't really know yet where her learning style is, but she's at an age where we can start forming these kinds of things. So let me ask you, how would I quiz her or find out from her what is her memory trigger? Action, exaggeration, oddity, personalization, or fantastical?
Oh, wow, absolutely. Well, and by the way, I got to commend you on your show, because we're going in far more depth than you usually get into in an ordinary radio show. This is more like what you do in one of my workshops. So I commend you on that. You're giving your listeners quite a great value here.
Thank you.
One of the things you want to do is it matters what you pay attention to. So you might ask them certain questions. Usually we have two triggers that you'll compare to each other. So if you find that they're interested in a subject, you'd ask them, you know, why are you interested in that subject? And you get a response like, well, you know, it makes me smile. I say, well, why does it make you smile, right? And then you get down to something a little bit more basic, like, you know, I like the action in it, or it's something that I feel I can relate to, or something. These sorts of words let us know the trigger. So if it's something they feel they can relate to, then personalization is it. Another really great clue is when they're having a really difficult time with something, if they're having a real struggle to learn something, that can give you a clue as to what their trigger is as well. So if they're having a real struggle with something action-oriented, then that is definitely not their trigger. It might be something more auditory-like. Also, if they like to figure stuff out, if they like to be a detective or figuring out mysteries and things like that, most likely they pay attention to what is odd or different or what stands out. And that's a very valuable one, because then you got, you know, a potential little scientist on your hands growing up.
Oh, that's great. We're talking to Dave Farrow, everybody. He is a memory expert, and we're trying to sharpen our memories as we go into the holiday season, because we're going to meet a lot of strange people at office parties and things like that. We want to be able to remember their names. So, all right, Dave,
let's get into some more basic stuff.
Let's
here.
Do.
Yeah, because the memory triggers is a bit more advanced. You really should go through a test. We have a test online. You can go through at yourmemorysucks.com, and you can get your evaluation. You actually get emailed. If you enter your email address in, you get emailed a free first lesson that'll triple your memory in about 7 minutes. So if you forgot that already, it's yourmemorysucks.com. It's a funny URL to get people to remember it. But just a couple of little things. If you've ever blanked out in a situation, one of the simplest things you can do is actually just look up. This will save a whole bunch. I bet you there's a bunch of people thinking right now that this is the reason why they failed a bunch of exams, because what happens is you look down at the page and you stare and you stare and you stare and you draw a blank. You hand that paper in, you walk out of the classroom, immediately your eyes roll into the top of your head. You start staring at the ceiling almost subconsciously. It's almost automatic. And immediately you start remembering that information that you didn't have just a few seconds ago. It's absolutely amazing. So what we found, actually, scientists have discovered that by pointing your eyes into the ceiling or pointing your eyes up, you actually get access to your visual memory or your sensory memory much more accurately than at any other time.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah,
so looking up is something as simple as that.
But when we get stressed out, we end up looking down, because we want to kind of talk to ourselves and get less stressed.
Interesting. All right. Well, we're talking to Dave Farrow. Dave, what are some other? That's a cool tip right there. That's worth the price of admission. What else you got?
Well, another great one you can do is this works really well with kids as well. And this is something that's just kind of a fun thing. It's not a specific memory technique. But what you want to do is, if you're going to test yourself immediately after you hear information. That seems to, like, right when it's kind of still bouncing around in your short-term memory, because that kind of sends a message to your brain saying that this information is important. So what I would suggest is, if you're sitting down with your student and they're really struggling with something, like they're having a tough time, you know, the standard protocol would be to kind of push them through an entire chapter and say, oh, no, you push, you go through, you either give a carrot or a stick and push them through a chapter, then, you know, you might ask them a few questions about it. But really what I would do with some severe ADHD kids, what we've done, is they just go through a page or maybe just a little case study of a couple of pages. Then you stop them and say, okay, what did you read? And quiz them right away, and that actually refreshes it. And it also gives them a sense of accomplishment, too, because they usually have very little confidence over a subject that they don't know very well. So if you quiz yourself quite quickly. So a great example of this is you meet somebody at a party, and immediately, right when you hear their name, in the back of your head, ask yourself, what was his name again? And then your brain will pipe up, oh, his name was Bob, right? And by doing that, it actually refreshes the information and improves your recall by up to 30% without doing anything else.
Wow.
Checking yourself right after, immediately after you hear the information, quiz yourself, and you find that just refreshes it a little bit.
We're talking to Dave Farrow, everybody. Dave, we've got a break here for some commercials, but when we come back, I want to pick up with some of these tips as well. We're going into the holiday season. Anything that I can use to remember the names of my wife's coworkers when we go to the Christmas party, that's going to be valuable to me.
Absolutely.
Don't answer that now. Answer it when we come back after this short break.
And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. My very special guest in this half hour is Dave Farrow. He's an author. He's a speaker. He is a memory expert. And he's given us all kinds of concrete tips that we can put into practice immediately to improve our memory. Now, just for those of you who don't know Dave Farrow, this is the guy who holds the world's record in memory tasks. So he is, by all means, an expert that's out there. Dave, before we went away to break, we were talking about some tips, and I want to come back and talk about those tips, but I nearly forgot. We've got a sandwich to give away from Urbane Cafe. It's nearly lunchtime, and I've got a coupon for a free sandwich or a free salad from Urbane Cafe, their new location in Oxnard. It's 1750 East Gonzales Road. That's the intersection of Gonzales and Rose. Brand new, beautiful restaurant there. And remember, Urbane Cafe was voted the best sandwich in Ventura County 3 years in a row by the VC Reporter. I'll give away this coupon to the fourth caller who calls in at 639-0008, 639-0008. Call in and the prize could be yours. Now, Dave, back to you. Incredible stuff. I love the looking up. If you're blanking out on something, look up and that will activate your memory. Fantastic tip. What are some other little things that we can do that are practical but immediately applicable to our day-to-day lives?
Well, absolutely. Here's one great one that I love is what you want to do is you don't have to know your full memory trigger in order to actually trigger your memory. Sometimes it's something very simple. So if you've ever had a situation where you lose your keys and glasses, I know this never happened to you because you're Billy the Brain. But anybody who you set something down and you forget where you put it, here's a simple task you can do. It's actually incredibly simple. All you have to do is just, when you set something down, imagine that it explodes. Now, I know I'm talking to people on the radio. Don't actually make it explode, all right? I'm not responsible for that. But if you picture in your mind's eye that it exploded, that it went boom, then what happens is your brain wakes up and goes, oh, I better pay attention to that, and it focuses on that bit of information. Now, the benefit of that is that you can go throughout your whole day, your whole week. Like, say I put my keys down on a shelf, and I imagine it explodes there. It just goes, poof, like there's a firecracker there.
Mm-hmm.
I can go through my whole day, and the minute I think of my keys, that explosion pops into my head almost every single time without fail. And I'll immediately remember where I put those keys. It's so powerful, it's so useful, and it's the simplest thing to do. And you can actually extend this a little bit. I have something called the mental alarm clock, where you can also kind of connect something or link it to your alarm clock. I use my cell phone as my alarm clock, as a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
So if I've got to call, say, my business partner, Ted, in the morning, first thing in the morning, have to absolutely do it. I imagine Ted grabbing my alarm clock and breaking it, and immediately, first thing in the morning, I'm going to remember to call Ted. Now, you might have noticed there, my memory trigger probably has action involved in it, and that's one of my major triggers. So, of course, I would imagine that. Somebody might imagine something slightly differently. It doesn't have to be rocket science, just it's whatever wakes your brain up and makes you pay attention to that particular event at that time.
It's really just focusing your attention on it so that you, just for that instant, know where that is. Whether it's the exploding keys or it's the mental alarm clock, you're just paying that touch more of attention to it, and it will help you to remember it longer. Is that pretty safe?
That's a really important thing also to keep in mind, is that it's your brain, it filters out so much information. It filters out what 90% of all the information that you encounter on a regular basis. So all we're doing is just telling your brain what to pay attention to. It's going to pay attention to something no matter what, but you're just telling it to focus on it. And you're right, it has to be for a split second. Your brain is not very good at focusing for hours on something, and no matter how hard you try, it's kind of an artificial thing for your brain. But it's whatever just focuses it just for a split second, and then it really sticks.
We're talking to Dave Farrow, everybody, a memory expert, giving us all kinds of tips. And I noticed that not one of the tips was a mnemonic to help us. And just for our listeners who don't know the word mnemonic, what is a mnemonic? It's the old school way of remembering things. Remind us, what is a mnemonic? How do you use them?
Oh yeah, it's like every good boy deserves fudge. Making a rhyme out of something, or making an acronym where you take the first letter of each word. These are old fashioned ways. It's almost ways just to group information in a way that's easier for your brain to consume. So it just takes a little of the pressure off. This is kind of going from the other direction. We know now what makes the brain wake up and pay attention, so we just control that function. We trigger it. And listen, parents, right now, if your kids are capable, like you know they're capable of B's and A's and they're getting C's and D's, I'm telling you, this is not taught in schools as much as I wish it was. We're trying hard to get into the school system. We're now teaching in universities and colleges, but I want to get down to elementary school. But there is really nothing out there. I invented this memory trigger system, so it doesn't exist anywhere else. So, you know, take a moment out, even if you're just curious about this, at least take the free lesson so you can experience some of it. But go on to yourmemorysucks.com, and I know it's a funny URL, but that's how I get you to remember it, you know?
Yeah.
got one half serious and one half funny, but I got to get people to remember it. But go on to yourmemorysucks.com, get your kids to take that little 7-minute lesson, and it'll triple their memory guaranteed, and you'll see some of our options as well for further study. I think this is something that everybody should have. Everybody's capable of having that genius level memory. We just don't know how to use it. Now we finally, the science has caught up. We know how to use it. We just have to actually, you know, take advantage of it.
We're talking to Dave Farrow, everybody. And Dave, you're probably best known as the Guinness World Record for memory. You've gone on to Regis and Kathy. You memorized everybody in their audience. You know, give us a peek behind the curtain. How did you actually do these amazing, astounding feats of memory?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And again, I have an ordinary memory, but what it is I've just really practiced these techniques. I'll give you an example. Actually, we didn't even mention what my Guinness record is for, but I memorized the exact order of 59 decks of playing cards all shuffled together. I know it sounds crazy, and it is kind of crazy. That's 3,068 cards in total. And I did that actually on the Discovery Channel. And I did that to demonstrate what was possible. I didn't want to show off. I'm not doing this for ego, but I'm here to demonstrate what's possible. I was diagnosed with two learning disabilities going into high school. I was ADHD and dyslexic. So I really was at the lowest of the low, if, for lack of a better phrase. But what I knew was that if I learned how to activate my brain, if I learned how to use that gray matter, I could accomplish anything. And now I'm an internationally award-winning speaker and author. I'm a spokesperson for Sony Corporation and their literacy campaigns. I speak at colleges and universities, and now my memory program is actually taught at Cal State University as an extended learning credit for teachers to teach in the classroom. So I've really proven that you can go from anywhere and you can get anywhere. You just have to know how to use that gray matter in your head. And really, honestly, there's no other skill that you can learn in what, maybe a weekend or two, that can change your career so greatly. There's nothing that even comes close.
Wow. We're talking to Dave Farrow, everybody. His website, yourmemorysucks.com, very memorable website. Go there. Got great tips. Even have a little test that you can take online to find out what is your memory trigger. Now, Dave, 3,068 cards. I mean, most of us, I can't remember a list of 10 things. So how did you do it? Did you make connections? How did that work? I mean, seriously, that's a lot of cards to remember.
Sure. Well, the first step to memorizing is called encoding, where you have to realize the cards are not in a format that's easy for your brain to memorize. It just put as simple as that. The cards are in a format that's easy for playing games, but your brain just can't handle numbers and symbols.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a code that turns them into images and objects, and I created a visual code. So I'll give you a couple examples. The Queen of Diamonds is a diamond ring because the Q makes the circle for the ring, and then the diamond makes the diamond. And we do this with a bunch of other things. So when I'm looking through a deck of cards, I'll see a bunch of objects. And then I use my memory triggers to focus on those objects and really put them in my long-term memory. So it's kind of a two-stage thing. There's the encoding, and then there's the actual linking up. So the only thing I can tell you is that with practice, you can do this almost subconsciously. It happens automatically without even thinking about it. That's the real power of it. With very little practice, you can get somebody who, without even thinking, you meet somebody, you shake their hand, and all of a sudden you remember what their name is right off the top of your head, and it works like every single time. I honestly think this is how the brain is designed to work ideally. It's just, we're not taught this, so we don't realize it.
Hmm. Dave, we're running out of time. We've only got about a minute left. But in that minute that's remaining, a lot of my listeners, we fall into the baby boom era. And so naturally, memory and memory loss is becoming a big thing. Alzheimer's disease is foremost in a lot of people's minds. Give us some thoughts. You're doing some not only some charity work in this area, but you are very, very instrumental in helping to delay, if not completely retard, memory disease. How's that going?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the things that we've proposed is that memory training lowers your risk for all. We do know that exercising your brain in general, like just learning skills and things like that, can lower your risk for Alzheimer's by up to 80%. One of the reasons we believe memory training works so well is because you're simply making the same machine work more efficiently. Alzheimer's is a disease that happens when individual cells start to die because they're overwhelmed by a type of protein called the beta amylase protein. Now, without getting into too technical, they basically die because they're overwhelmed by their own waste. So what we do is by training your brain, I can basically memorize a deck of cards using the same amount of mental energy that most people would to memorize, say, one joke, right?
Wow.
So by training the brain to be more efficient, then all of a sudden you're producing less waste, you're producing less of this excitotoxin in the brain, and that dramatically cuts your risk for Alzheimer's. But it also makes you smarter. Your brain rewires itself over time to be able to be brighter and brighter. And I mean, man, 10, 15 years ago, I mean, when I was in high school, I was considered the jock, And now I'm an internationally renowned scientist.
And so
your brain rewires itself if it has the right tools.
Dave, you've been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. His website, yourmemorysucks.com. That brings us to the end of another show. Coming up next is Living Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell here